on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm a little nervous this morning. Is that the right thing to say, a little nervous? Nah, nervous isn't the right word. Not the right word. Little apprehensive because I got so much stuff I want to talk about here today, but yet we want to try to do something a little bit different here at Pass the Salt, or what do we call this thing, Coach Dave Live, this huddle. We want to invite some of you new folks to come in here and join us. That's what we'd like. I get emails from people all around the world, literally all around the world, who are watching us or watching the replay or listening to on the Global Star Radio Network or listening to our call-in line. And we'd love to hear from you this morning. We'd love to hear from you. We got pretty much a full queue here. But we are going to go through a process today where we are going to have guys get out of the queue and give some new folks a chance to be able to get in here. Because we'd love to hear from you. We want to welcome you in. We want to hear from you today in regards to what does Christmas mean to you? I mean, we could do that. That's something you'd see on Oprah, you know? This ain't Oprah. No. I don't want to do that. I want to hear from you. What this whole coming of Christ means to you. What it has meant to you. What it has rescued you from. I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you today. And how the gospel of the kingdom of God has impacted your life. And how your eyes have been opened. And what the Lord has shown you. A lot of you have sat out there in the hinterland and you've watched the program and you've listened ever since we came on 11 months ago. And some of you have been, you know, I hear from you. But we would really like to hear from you. So here's what we're going to offer you a chance to be able to do today. My phone banged off here. We got to check what it says here real quick. Here's what we would like for you to be able to do. Chad said, pull my camera down a little bit. What does that mean, Chad? Let's see if I do that. Down here? Is that what you want me to do? Okay, Chad. Okay. Thanks, Chad. Thanks for that. If you're listening right now, some of you go to YouTube and find us. I don't know where some of you find. I don't know how this works. But if you go to CoachDaveLive.com, most of you are there probably. But if you're not, you're listening on the phone, whatever, go to CoachDaveLive.com, and you're going to notice over at the right, there's a little icon that says Join the Huddle. And what we're going to ask you to do is if you have a camera, and you have a microphone, as guys drop off, click on Join the Huddle and come and get in here with us. And let us hear from you. We'd like to see your face. We'd like to give you the opportunity to say what's on your heart at this Christmas time. And just the meaning, whatever the Lord puts on your heart.
And we've got room for one right now.
And we have room for somebody right now that can jump in here. And if you're not, let's say you're driving down the road and you'd like to get in here, but you can't. Well, you can call us. If you look under Larry, Larry's the guy in red. If you're watching this, Larry has a phone number out there. Jared, do you put that up on the screen for him so they can see that? Do we do that? I think normally we do that. The number is 843-957-8180. That's a direct call in. Larry will pick up the phone and we'll get you in here. 843-957-8180. And here's something else that we want to do. We may go a little overtime today. If we're hearing from you, we're not going to be stuck at that's going off the air at 8 o'clock this morning. We'll go a little bit longer if we need to. But it's up to you what you guys want to do. I come in here and rattle on and on and on and on and on all the time. And we'd love to have a little bit of feedback for you. But I got to share a scripture with you to begin with. Well, let me back up a little bit. Let me back up a little bit. Truth be told, Jesus died on that cross. And by the way, the Christmas story is meaningless without the resurrection. You understand this? If Jesus didn't go and die on that cross and get thrown in that tomb and resurrect from the dead, it's just birth of another little baby. That's all this thing is. And I don't care if wise men came, and I don't care if they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't care if they did all that stuff. I don't care about any North Star. And I don't care about they're wearing the same field shepherd abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said, fear not, for our unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's the Christmas story. But the Christmas story has no meaning if there's not an Easter story, if there's not a resurrection story. So this whole idea of Christmas that we all get, as my buddy Chad says, we get caught up in our emotions. We make it an emotional experience. Oh, I love to go to church and hear the sleigh bells ring and sing Christmas carols. We like to do that because it conjures up an emotion inside of us. We think back when we were little kids and what it was like to be under the tree. And we think about Dad putting cookies out there for Santa. We conjure up all of these emotions. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with emotions, but as Chad says, your emotions will betray you. And so I don't want to be a bah humbug guy. I don't want to be a bah humbug, but I don't want us to miss the greater purpose of the incarnation of Jesus. I don't want us to miss that. He came to die, and he asks us to die. Do you understand that? He was born to die, and he asks us to follow him and do the same thing, to take up our cross daily and follow after him. So I'm happy about Christmas. I get into the Christmas spirit. I got 5 grandbabies. Can you imagine what Christmas is going to be like? It's going to be great, but your emotions will betray you. And unfortunately, we get trapped in this box right here. You ready? That baby right there. That right there. For most of us, that's what our life has become about. Because this thing right here gives us the ability to buy stuff. And we like stuff. And as a result, when we really look and think about it, our biggest concern in life revolves around this. Until you get sick. Or until something happens to you. Or till a person that you love is in trouble. And then you couldn't care less about this. And so if we come to be honest with ourselves, we know that this has become an idol in our lives. Christmas is an idol. And they punch it down our throat because Sears needs that. And Walmart needs that. And Amazon needs that. And we think that to love other people, we have to have more of those. And it's been the merchandising of Christmas. It's really kind of been at the center of this Christmas spirit. I'm in Hebrews. Larry's got something up there. We got somebody calling. She's upside down, Larry. I'll have to turn on my head to read your thing. It's upside down.
Let me reverse my camera thing, okay?
Yeah, well, something. Other than that, it's upside down for me. I want to read to you a little bit in Hebrews before we get. See, Hebrews, yeah, I know that's kind of an odd place to start it. Christmas season, right? Kind of an odd spot, but that's where I am. Jared can maybe pull that up for you. We've used this scripture before. And Jared, I know, is working.
Jerry Allen?
Yeah. Okay, who is it, Roger or Larry?
It's Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen. Jump in here, Mary Ellen, while we're getting Hebrews up there.
Hey, Dave. You asked us to tell about our best Christmas. At first, I dreaded being alone this weekend, but I'm now looking forward to this Christmas and expect it to be one of my most remarkable, because I'm going to spend the day praising the Lord for the miracles I've witnessed in recent months. The results of our election are more of a miracle than we realize.
Amen.
The day before the election, Larry Nichols was on our daily conference call saying it was statistically impossible for Trump to win. But God answered the prayers of our nation and around the globe, and he honored 2 Chronicles 7:14. And yet the day after the election, Larry let us know there was a possibility to steal the Electoral College. So we started working to get that word out and calling people to pray once again. You know, watching God work in Larry Nichols has been one of the major joys of my life. His growth in the Lord in the last couple of months has made our friendship more precious than gold. you know, he may be one of the most misunderstood and persecuted men in America, and I'm so honored to be on a team that worked with him for our country. God used Larry to change my life in remarkable ways, and I hope I've impacted his life too. So I'm going to spend Christmas Day in an intimate time with the Lord, thanking God for Larry and asking him to complete the work God has begun in Larry and our country.
Amen. Amen.
Speaking of our country and the spiritual change that's overtaking our land in answer to 2 Chronicles 7:14, I want you to know what's happening in our government. I spoke with a Christian representative from Pennsylvania a few nights ago. He told me there's a movement of Christian state representatives across this country working to take back the government to what our founding fathers envisioned. They're working on states' rights and putting government back in local hands, wresting the government power even from the governors. Keep your eyes open. We've got chaotic times that's going to shed light on the spiritual battle for our country, but God is going to prevail. And as you all celebrate with your family, you can know there's a woman in Maryland dedicating Christmas Day to praying for your safety.
Amen. Mary Ellen, God bless you, dear. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. Here's the truth, folks. Here's the truth. We almost lose this. The Christmas story, Christianity, it's about redemption. It's about redemption. And if I'm selfish enough to take the time, I could just fill your ears with what a scoundrel I was. Not only that, what a scoundrel I could be right now. Left to my own devices, if I knew nobody was watching, if I knew I wasn't going to get caught, I know what lives inside me. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Daily try to kill that sin beast inside of me. And those of us who have received the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus, sometimes we are the least... We are the hardest to get to forgive, to believe in redemption. We saw it, in my opinion, we saw it with Donald Trump. I don't know whether he's saved or not, but the unforgiveness and the holier-than-thou spirit that came out of Christians during this last election was, wow, my. And I think we have to guard against that, and the whole Christmas story is not about giving presents. It's about the gift of redemption of mankind, that we no longer have to sin. By the way, that phone number is 843-957-8180, and I want to shut up. I'm going to give these guys a chance to say, we'll open it up. We'd love to hear from you. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. Click on Join the Huddle. We'll get you in here. I got to read this, though. The Lord told me to read this. So Hebrews chapter 12, Jared, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, because there's something in there that caught me. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know you're running a race, Rich? I mean, you really are. Robert, we're really running a race. We really are. We have to have patience in this race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen, if we're going to emulate Jesus, we're going to have to do what? For the joy that is set before us, endure the cross that's going to be before us. We have to endure that too. We have to despise the shame and set it down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have to allow God to use our lives. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he endureth. And Rich, if you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what is the son whom the father doesn't discipline? But if you be without discipline, whereof all the partakers and your bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh who corrected us and who gave us reverence, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a day chastened us after their own pleasure, but for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I could go on and on and on and on to understand that when Jesus came to and died, I was born and then died on the cross, it was so much more than what we think it was all about. It wasn't just to make us healthy, wealthy, and wise and happy and be able to sit on his lap. Or as I saw a pastor yesterday, I just wanted to scream, God bless him. God bless him. That Jesus came to die on the cross so that we can be reunited with our family in heaven. Now, where did he come up with that? See, where did he come up with that? We have yet to embrace the fact that we are called to death. That this celebration we have here this Christmas, it's a call to death. Do you understand that? It is. And once we embrace that, it's going to be good. So, okay, I'm going to shut up here. I'm going to let some of you jump in and let you ramble on. And then go to CoachDaveLive.com. You can click on Join the Huddle and get in there. We'd love to hear from you today. And the number, 843-957-8180. First one up. Okay. Who wants to jump in here first?
Hey, Coach, I would like to step up to the mic for a moment.
Okay.
I just want to share, you know, like you said, Christmas time, so many people just take their traditions and the trappings and the trimmings of Christmas and let the trappings and the trimmings be their focus. Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to share my most meaningful Christmas happened in 1982 when I was in jail. Now, for those who don't know, jail is where you go before you've been to trial and been convicted of anything. Now, I've never been to trial and been convicted of anything other than standing in front of a Target store with a sign. But the time that I was in jail waiting for trial, I'd been there for a couple of 3 months already when Christmas rolled around. And we found out, I was in jail parts. So I was in what they call a bullpen in a particular county I was in. That's where there's 12 prisoners in one little same area that have two bunks, two steel bunks in each little segment. And the segments are open to a larger area called a bullpen. It wasn't very large. It was only about 7 feet wide by maybe 35 feet long or something like that. But anyway, there's 12 of us in there. And we found out the day before Christmas that they were going to allow special visitations on Christmas Day. And everybody had an opportunity to call their loved ones or whatever and let them know about the special visitation. But the problem was, because of situations and things, I had no number to call. I had no idea where my wife was or where my family was. When you're in jail, you're cut off from news. You don't know what's going on. And I knew we didn't have a phone at home, so I didn't have a way to call. And everybody else that I knew was a long-distance call at that time, and the jail wouldn't let you make a long-distance collect call, so I didn't get to make a call. So what happened was all the other 11 guys, or 10 of the other 11 guys in the bullpen, tried to get the word out to their families to try to find somebody willing to drive over to my house and so forth and let my wife know that I could have a visitor on Christmas Day, which, by the way, Christmas was my birthday, too. And in the bullpen, in that jail cell at that time, like I said, I'd been in there waiting trial for a couple of months, kind of like the guys out in Oregon were. I know what it's like to be waiting for a trial for something you didn't do. So that's why I sympathize with them so much, empathize with them. But 10 out of the other 11 guys in that jail cell up until that day, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, 10 of them had either rededicated or turned their lives over to Jesus Christ for the first time because of the Holy Spirit working in our lives in that jail cell.
Yeah, Lord put you in a jail ministry, didn't he, Larry?
Yeah, sometimes he got to get you to sit still enough, long enough to listen to him. Yep. Anyway, so we're in there, and Christmas, and I didn't know whether Gail got word that she could visit me or not. So Christmas Day came along, and visitation time came. It was only a two-hour period of time where visitors could come and visit with us. Now, those that had been convicted and were in jail in the county jail, they had all-day visiting privileges. But for those in jail waiting trial, you don't have any rights and privileges unless they decide to give them to you. So we had a 2-hour block that people could come visit. And one by one, the other visitors came, they went out, and they went and got to do their visit, maybe 15, 20 minutes, and it was time for somebody else, so they'd bring them back and so forth. The time slipped by, and I'm sitting there just, you know, oh, God, I want Gail to come visit me. I hadn't talked to anybody other than the guys in the bullpen for weeks. And the visiting time ended, and all 11 of the other guys had visitors, and I hadn't. And I was throwing myself a pity party. I started crying. I mean, I wasn't boo-hoo bawling, but I was audibly, you could hear me, and I was crying, and I was sitting on my bunk, and I was hurt. I wanted a visitor on that day, my birthday and Christmas Day. And the other 10 guys that had turned their life over to the Lord, one by one, none of them said a word to me, but one by one, they'd step into the little cubicle place where my bunk was, and they would just sit down on the toilet and just sit there. Someone would reach over and put a hand on my knee or something. Some of them would just sit there and look at me, but sit there and quietly. And one by one, they came in there, and each of them sat with me for a little while, and I'm still crying. Now, the 11th guy, the one that hadn't turned his life over to the Lord, that was in the bullpen at the time, he was a black Muslim, and he was in there for a pretty heinous crime, but that makes no difference. But the thing was, is he was a black Muslim, and he had let it be known throughout the weeks that we'd all been in there waiting for our trials. He'd let it be known that he thought Christianity was just the worst thing on the face of the earth, and it was, you know, the big great Satan was manifested in Christianity. But after a while, after these 10 guys had each of them come in and each of them sat silently and shared my grief, he came into the little cubicle and he sat down on the toilet. And he told me, he said, Larry, he said, I don't know what it is. He says, but I've just observed something in the last hour or so that I didn't know existed on the face of the earth. He said, these guys love you. And he says, I didn't know that was possible. And he says, I want to have what you guys have.
Wow.
And he turned his life over to the Lord. And that went from being my worst Christmas to my best Christmas in an instant.
Larry, that's because I always say, it's not about you, is it, brother? It's not about you. If Gail had shown up, that would have never happened. That would have never taken.
That's right. Now we've got room on the queue. Go to the Dave Live.
If you want to call in, there's Larry's number, 843-957-8180. Roger, you want to jump in? You threatened me with a filibuster. We won't let you filibuster.
Oh, I don't. Can you guys? I just want to thank God, Dave, for the huddle. I've got some Christmas stories, and if the lights stay light, I'll come back. But it's been a good year for me in God's word. It's been a good year for me for his being more obedient to his word. I wish I could reach out and hug all the guys on the huddle right now. Got a man crush on some of you.
That's because you haven't seen them.
Amen to that. But, you know, it's just, you know, I was looking at my little diary here, or my little thing I write down, my journal. And for me to amass all of this, I got to work in getting back into the topics, because you can learn so much more going through things a second and third time. I've never done this in my entire life. You know, I'm 55, known the Lord since I was 16. And so this Christmas, what I'm thankful for, and I'll come back with some memories. I've got some memories as a kid, but I'm just grateful that the Lord led you to put this on. I'm grateful that some of the regulars are there sharing. I encourage those that are listening. A couple things. One is to support the work you're doing, Dave. I know you're hesitant sometimes to request or ask, but we can, as people look at the end of the year and the coming year, to support the work that Dave, you're doing, and others within your ministry. Those that are listening that have never, you know, joined live, give it a shot. It's fun.
Hey, Roger, let me ask you this, because it kind of piqued something in my interest. You showed that everything, the notes that you've taken, and the in-depth of being in the Bible every morning. What's been the key? You can say the huddle. What is it that not only has captured you, but made it such an impact that you're taking notes, for heaven's sakes?
I'm not a big follower of men. So it's not, I fight and stay away from any concept of cultic concepts. If you follow me.
I'm with you. Yes, sir.
I love you, Dave, but you put your pants on just like I do.
That's right.
For me, I've been invigorated to a certain extent by the type of men that the huddle is ministering to and has attracted. I've always been attracted to men that are willing to take a stand. And I've always been attracted to be around men that sometimes are misunderstood.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, there are strong men that want to lead, that love the Lord, and aren't afraid to share it. And that has always been men that I've liked to be in Bible studies with. I like going camping with. I like hanging with. I like smoking cigars with, having a glass of scotch with. It's that type of man. And I see that. And whether it's a Robert or a Larry. But we are also, many of us, misunderstood men. And it's because we partake in an atmosphere and a lifestyle that is not embraced in our church anymore.
Amen.
And so in many ways, we're viewed as outcasts, but quite frankly, we're as normal as can be in my eyes, as far as how God wants a man to be. So, you know, that's gotten me going. And God's word itself. I think when you start reading his word, and you start letting the Holy Spirit grip you a little bit, you desire more of his word. You desire to hear more about it, to read more about it. And so the Holy Spirit plays a role too.
So I believe,
short question.
I believe this. See, I believe that as you become more enlightened, as more and more truth gets into you, the Lord unveils more truth to you in other areas that you hadn't seen before, see? Because I think the training to hear the voice of the Lord makes you more sensitive to hear him in other areas of your life as well. And to me, that's been one of the significant things. Who else wants to jump in here? We're glad you're here, Roger. We're glad you're here.
Those of you that called while Mary Ellen was talking, call back. I can only take one call at a time, so I can't do call waiting.
Yeah, and we have room for you. Come on. This is your chance. We want to hear from you folks out there. You say, well, I hear Roger's on there all the time and Larry's on there all the time. Well, we want to hear from those of you who've never had the chance to be able to get in there. We'd love you to be able to do it. And go to CoachDaveLive.com. Click on Join the Huddle, and you can be right in there and give us your 2 cents worth, and then you can click out and go on with the rest of your day. But we sure love to hear from you. Anybody want to jump in here?
Coach, I will.
Okay, Robert. Where are you from, Robert? Where are you from?
I'm from Georgia. I'm from Douglasville, Georgia, west of Atlanta.
All right.
And I've always been a loner and a rebel, I guess. Always done things the hard way. And I always knew sitting in church that there was more to it than what I was hearing. Mm-hmm. And my wife went to church. I've been married 32 years to a God-sent woman who had put up with so much crap from me, and my arrogance and my rebellion. So I first want to praise God for her, because she could have left me many times, and I was not the man that I should have been. That's number one. Number two, Big Rich and I talk a lot, and we talk about, you know, the two main factors in life, pleasure and pain. And it took pain for God to bring me to my knees and to really crack that heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for my wife because she's the one that introduced me to Pass the Salt. That, and since you know, and guys on the huddle know, that I listened to you on a Friday. You was going to Montgomery on Saturday, and it was like a magnet. And when I met Rich and you and Larry and the other guys, when I think of y'all, I think of King David and his mighty men. And I am just so thankful to have met y'all and to be a part of it. And like I told you the other day, when you said about your testimony about stepping out of the boat and following Jesus, that was like the light bulb coming on in my head, because I've never been afraid of man, and it gave me a purpose. So God bless you and each one. And I wish that everybody else would quit being fearful and just step out of the boat, because it gets so much easier. Thank you, Coach.
Does it ever? Well, it doesn't get easier. Maybe that's not the right thing. You get stronger. I don't know if it ever gets easier. But it's like, you know, when you go into the weight room, and I told you I've started working out again, you start out with 50 pounds, and the next week you're doing 60 pounds. And the 60 pounds doesn't get easier, but you can move it. And then it's 80 pounds. And it's not easier. That's not the right word. You now have the ability to move more than you used to move. You become stronger in your faith. I think that's a way to say it. It doesn't become easier. You have the ability now to push back with a greater resistance than you'd ever pushed back before. And that's what it means to exercise our faith, to grow in our faith, to grow in our walk. And my heart cry is to men, my goodness, why do we give our lives so much for this? Why are we so tenacious in everything we do for the acquisition of these little things of paper? And who gets the most of them, and all that? Who? What? What is that all about? And if you would think that we look at the situations that we're facing here in the good old U.S. of A., if men went as hard after truth, justice, and the American way, if men were like supermen, this crap we have going on in America wouldn't be going on. And it's only happening because we are permitting it to happen. We need men to rise up. So listen. Some of you still, I know you're listening. Why won't you click on that thing and join the huddle? Why won't you do it? I know there, are you ready? I know there are pastors out there who are watching this. I know you are. Why won't you click on that thing and join the huddle? Why won't you give us a call and say, hey, you know what? Here's what I've been struggling with, and here's what we're working through, and man, I'm all in, and help me. I want to be better, or whatever. Whatever it is we want to do. We'd love to be able to hear from you. So the phone number, again, CoachDaveLive.com, click on Join the Huddle, or the phone number is right there in front of old Larry's face, 843-957-8180. Larry will take your call. We'll get you on the air. Who else wants to jump in here?
Hey, Dave.
Rich.
I want to share just a second. You know,
Where are you from, Rich?
I'm from Granite City, Illinois.
Just outside St. Louis?
Just outside St. Louis. You know, I love my walk. I love my walk with Christ. A lot of people don't like my walk with Christ. When I joined this show, I was full of what we call righteous indignation, and my cup still runs over. And I think that puts fear in a lot of people. You know, when I think of what Brother Chad says, you know, emotions will betray you. And we see it on the news every day, these young kids out tearing stuff up and protesting and stuff like that. But what people fail to realize is there's nothing wrong with righteous indignation as long as you have that restrainer in you,
amen,
that fruit of the spirit called self-control.
Be angry and sin not.
Right. And people have no reason to fear, because with matter of fact, they ought to, from my perspective, they ought to be thankful that I have not only righteous indignation, but I have a restrainer that holds me to I would never do anything that would displease my Lord and Savior. You know?
Amen. Amen.
I want to serve him. And but it also says one day that that restrainer may be removed. I don't know what that looks like. But I love people. I love people enough to tell them no. And when no one else will tell them no. And I'm grateful God's put that in me. And I woke up this morning thinking, you know, the little I say, I don't like confronting people, but my light alone just removes their darkness. And
the darkness has to flee, doesn't it, Rich? And sadly, what ends up happening is they choose not to be around the light.
Yeah,
that's what happens. They choose not to be around it.
Right.
It's blinding to them. And you're not doing anything on purpose. You're just letting that light shine, brother. And it's becoming more and more of a, not a little light, huh? It's becoming a beam of light, brother.
And trying not to be a lightning bolt. You know, I'm just trying to just let my light shine by the way I live. And man, it condemns people. It's amazing how true God's word is.
But the good light emanates warmth, though, doesn't it? I mean, you stand around the light, you can get warm. So if they can get by the initial shock of this bright light, they'll find out there's a lot of warmth in the midst of that thing. There's a lot of stuff in that light's going to make you feel good if you just will gather up closer. And again, I believe that's the failure of the church, that we haven't really we've made it so soft and so easy that people are able to put on their sunglasses or blinders or whatever, and they live their lives better with their sunglasses on. I think makes it better for. Is there a call, Larry, or are you trying to?
Yeah, we have a caller. Glenn's on the line. Go ahead,
Glenn. Hey, Glenn, you're in. God bless you.
Hey, hi everybody. Hey, you know, I think. Well, first of all, let me just say I'm grateful for. You know, having met you guys and having met Coach Dave, you know, over the years, you know, I've been going to church and then watching our country deteriorate and feeling somewhat helpless because nobody was really doing anything. And then, of course, I heard you on Hagman and Hagman, and then had a chance to meet you at the Watchman's Conference in Dallas. And you reminded me, you know, I always feel like when you're in the battle, you know, they talk about the abundant life. The abundant life is not abundance, okay, in the natural. It's not having things, okay? The abundant life in God's kingdom, okay, is being in the fight, is being in the battle, okay? That's where the abundant life is.
Amen.
That's where you actually see God working. You know, the Israelites, okay, before they walked into the nation of Israel, okay, the Jordan departed, but it didn't depart until they stepped forward, until they stepped in.
Right.
The priests had to step in, and then the water departed. So what I really saw, Dave, that you're an action man, okay, and that motivated me, and I'm sure a lot of other men, okay, to go ahead and have the faith to take action, because we saw you taking action. You know, it reminds me, you know, I love history, I read history, and, you know, reminds me of a Civil War general, and I might have mentioned this to a couple of guys before, but there was a general in the Civil War by the name of A.P. Hill, Ambrose Powell Hill. He was one of the lesser-known generals in the South. But he was a guy that always came up and pulled, a lot of times, saved the, you know, made the difference in the battle. Okay? Because he rushed into the battle with his corps. And I'm reminded, too, about how David ran toward Goliath.
Amen.
Right? He didn't just sit there and pray. He ran toward the battle. And we have to understand that that's where the victory is. That's where the abundant life is. And so I'm thankful this morning, Dave, that, you know, you're the catalyst. I don't want to build you up, but you're the catalyst for that built a lot of our faith, so that we're now stepping out, and we just need more men in to do that and to catch the fire, to step up.
Amen, brother. Amen, Glenn.
So God bless you. Merry Christmas to you all, guys.
God bless you, buddy. It's a journey, Glenn. It's a journey for sure.
Hey, thank you, man.
We're glad that you're part of it. Hey, folks, jump in here. We've opened it up for you this morning. Glenn just gave me something I just Googled over here. And hey, Roger, think about this. Everybody that's listening out there, by the way, just go to CoachDaveLive.com, click on Join the Huddle, and you can be right in here. Talk to us. We can see you. Can dialogue with you. We'd love to hear from you. And or you can call 843-957-8180. I was just thinking as I heard Glenn speaking right there. I'm 64. I've been through a lot of Christmases. I've been a father for 34 years. Now I'm a grandfather for 6 years. And if I could go 20 years into the future, in my mind, if the Lord would take me and he'd let me see 20 years in the future, what would he today, right now, if he took me 20 years in the future and then brought me back here, what would I right now, today, what would be the present I would give to my children and my grandchildren? As we sit around and we think about, bring that little guy over here. As we sit around and we think about the presents we're going to get. Look at this guy here. Look, this is my namesake. Look at this guy. Huh? If 20 years from now, if I could go 20 years in the future and see his life and see what's going on in the world, as I sit here right now in 2016, what would I give this guy? And it isn't anything, guys, anything I'd put under my tree. It would not fit under the tree. Everything I would give him would involve truth and righteousness, everything that I could give him. And if I could give him an environment and a world that he could grow up in, my namesake, David, if David could grow up in a world, if I could do something today that would make his journey a little bit more fruitful, yes, why wouldn't I do that? Tell him thank you, David. Say thank you. It's about the only thing he knows. And would he 20 years from now say to me, thank you, Grampy, thank you? But see, we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that this little guy right here on Christmas 2016, the greatest gift I can give him is the gift of salvation and the gift of a heritage and a gift of a lineage, a gift of a faith that he's going to pass on to his children and to the children that follow after him. Okay, buddy. Thanks for coming down here. Say bye, Davey. Say bye to him. Davey's 16 months. Say bye-bye. He's a little shy. Thanks for bringing him down, Michelle. So what would you leave? What would you give him? What would you leave to him? That's a pretty amazing question. George, you're up, man. But hang on one moment, George. Hang on just a second. Okay, I got a call coming in, but I want to read this too before we bring George in. Teddy Roosevelt said, the man in the arena. Have you guys, maybe you've heard this. Hang on. Jared, I'm going to send you this, because I want everybody to be able to read along with me. You know, some of us are audible readers. Some of us learn when we hear. So I'm going to send this to you, Jared, and you can put it up there, and we can read it together. Go ahead, George, you're up, man. And then we got a call as well. George, jump in. Can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now, Coach?
Yeah, there we got you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're heading down to the clinic this morning. So
praise the Lord.
You probably can't see, but go ahead, Coach.
No, you go ahead. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I really think this will be my best Christmas ever, because over the past year and a half, you know, it's been revealed to me. You know, I always knew that God sent his son Jesus to become flesh and dwelt among us, but honestly, that's about where it ended. Everything else is just kind of going through motions for the most part. You know, I love God, but, you know, when I realized that God coming down to dwell among us through Jesus, it wasn't just so we could say we go to church, but it was, man, we could partake with Jesus to build his kingdom right now, right here and now. and to make a difference. And, you know, coach like you, I've got three grandsons, 10, 6, and 3. And, you know, every day that's what I think about is what kind of heritage, what kind of legacy am I going to leave them?
What would be the present?
Am I going to leave them?
That's right. What would be the present that you would put under their tree Sunday morning that they would never, ever, ever forget? And that would be so impactful for the rest of their life, rather than money and that kind of stuff, stuff that really, really matters to them.
Yes. Amen, coach. And I echo what one of the other guys said. I appreciate you taking a righteous, godly stand, because God has worked for you in a mighty way to reach men like me that wanted to do more, but you know what? Sometimes we need someone else that's been a little further along out there guiding and teaching us and mentoring us. So, you know what? I believe this is the greatest Christmas I've ever had, because I believe more truth and revelation have been revealed to me. And, you know, I'm absolutely excited about building God's kingdom.
Amen, George. You've encouraged my heart today, because the scripture says that if I'm really living out my faith, I should provoke you, George, to love and to good works. And here you are. George, who would have ever thought a year ago, 6 months ago, that you'd be on your way on Friday morning to stand outside of an abortion clinic? It's almost impossible to believe, isn't it, George?
Yes, it is, coach. And you know, coach, and maybe this will encourage some other guys, gals that are listening to the show. You know, I've met more opposition from people closest to me during this past year.
Yep.
But you know what? Being a former athlete, college athlete, I always know that the more resistance you meet, that means something good is either happening or getting ready to happen. And I've also seen some victories, you know, people that are listening, that as you stay faithful and you do what's right, even if it's not easy, if you're being persecuted or whatever, or being misunderstood, you know what? There are people that will come around. There's some that never will, but there's some that will, that are closest to you, because they're watching you.
Bless you, George. We always taught our defensive linemen, fight pressure. If they're trying to take you one way, baby, you push back. God bless you, George. Thanks for joining us here. Hey, folks, I got some slots open here. CoachDaveLive.com. Just click on that link at the top. Says join the huddle. We'd love to hear from you. We got a caller coming in now. Larry, who do we have there?
We have Jeff.
Jeff, you're in.
Hey, Coach. It's Jeff from Gambier, Ohio.
Hey, Jeff.
How we doing?
Doing great, brother. Good to hear from you.
You know, been hanging out with you for what now, about 10 years?
Yep.
That just now started turning the show on in the last 3 weeks, and actually taking notes every morning. Sharing with Mary Jane last night some of your show, I pulled out my tablet and started going through things that were said on your show. You know, but I sit and think about it. You know, the 25 years of drugs and alcohol, I was the ringleader to get people to come down to the bars. That's all. I could round them up.
You could round it. You were you were evangelist for Budweiser, weren't you, Jeff?
Oh, my goodness. It was terrible. You know, and you were talking about building the downline a few weeks ago. And I look back on it now. I can sit in my car a lot. So used cars are one of the car sales. And I can share probably 5 to 10 times a week. I'll pass this on. You guys need to feel this website. You need to serve it. People are listening. They're accepting. You know what I mean? I don't know how many are going yet. But I look back on my life. I'm just before Christ. And just the heathen I was in the bars, in the strip clubs sometimes. You know, and probably would have been one of the guys that if I'd have got a girl pregnant, I'd have said, honey, you need to go to the abortion clinic. Get rid of that thing.
Yep.
So now here we are at the strip clubs, outside of there. Abortion clinics, the places like that, the gay parades, and sharing Jesus. Like a total flip of my life. And you were just touching on, Pastor Bill talks about a lot, what's our legacy going to be? So like this Christmas, what we do, and I've done for the last 3 or 4 Christmases, and share this with you guys, we'll do 300 meals on Christmas Eve day. So I pack up right around 40 meals, take my 5 grandkids, and we go to some places, either some terrible neighborhoods or a list of people. This year we're doing a big apartment complex with a bunch of low-income people, just some downtrodden people. So we take the 5 grandkids in, and we take all these dinners in. We'll share some scripture, maybe pray with a few people. The kids will sing them a couple of the songs, and the people will cry. They'll cry and hug the little kids, all five of my little grandkids. But that's the legacy I want to leave them, is
amen.
Being about it, being building that kingdom here. So someday when we're dead and gone, Pastor Bill said this in his message, most of us don't even know what our own grandfathers stood for.
And that's the truth.
Grandfather or great-great-grandfather.
Yep.
So I want my kids not to be able to say, oh, my grandpa, he was a drunk. So now they're going to have some stories. What do you always say? Every place we go.
Make a story.
Yep.
Make a story.
I just thought I'd share that this morning, that life is better with Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, we just round the guys up, build the down line, and build that leg.
Amen, Jeff. Amen. God bless you, buddy. Love you, Jeff. Hey guys, listen. So here's what just popped into my head as I'm listening to this. And again, come on out there, jump in here, join us in the queue. Come on in, the water's fine. Come on, CoachDaveLive.com. Click on the icon, join the huddle. We're gonna hang out till you call. I'm waiting until we hear from you. You understand? I'm talking to you. We're waiting until we hear from you. I want to lay this before you today. What do you spend most of your time evangelizing about? Because really, if you stop and think about it, we all are evangelists. Some of us are evangelists for our jobs, or evangelists for a business. We're evangelists for stuff that we're trying to sell. We're evangelists for the Buckeyes. We're an evangelist for the Cincinnati Bengals. My son's become an evangelist for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's all he wants to talk about anymore. What are you an evangelist for? When that passion really hits you and you begin to talk to others, what is the thing that really hits that hot button? And I'm going to tell you, for most of us, it isn't Jesus. It just isn't Jesus. And it should be. And here's what I think I'm considering doing. I'm going to give this to somebody out there. I believe this is for somebody. You want to grow in your faith, I'm going to give you something to do. I want you to go to your local bank. I want you to draw out $50, 10 $5 bills. $10 $5 bills. And then I want you to go stand outside of Walmart or any place. Go outside a restaurant and stand. Go out in front of the grocery store and say, hey, somebody comes walking out and you say to him, hey, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you $5. You give me 5 minutes, I'll give you $5. And you hold up that $5. And then give them the real reason for Christmas. I'm going to tell you this. You won't get rid of your $50. Because once you begin to speak to them and you captivate them, they're not going to walk away. And when they do, if they do walk away and they don't want to hear it, you hand them their $5 and you let them be on their way. But we know this, that to most people, the greatest idol they have is that dude right there. And is it too much of an idol to you that you can't give out 10 fives over the next 2 days that might draw somebody into the kingdom of God? What are you evangelizing about? What's your life about? I want to read this. Hey, we got joined down there. Got to get my glasses on. My old buddy from Wichita, John, thanks for joining us. Come on, listen. Some of you are out there saying, what do I have to say? I don't have anything to say. Why would you jump in here? CoachDaveLive.com. Click on the link. Join Dave. The huddle. Yeah, Raj.
Oh, two things I would share as you head forward. I hope we go a little long today, but you know, as a young boy, I remember Christmas, and I remember my parents were, you know, good people. They put a roof over my head and food on the table, and they're both still alive, so I don't want to say anything that would be disrespectful. But Christmas was not an exciting time for me as a boy. You know, you wanted gifts and there, you know, every kid at 8 or 9 or 10 would flip through the Sears catalog or pennies. I'm not quite that old, but you get my understanding.
I do. Yeah.
And I remember we had Christmas, and my older brother, who's passed now, Bruce, died of a massive heart attack. But Bruce would always, he would always get something I wanted. You know, I could count on Bruce. You know, mom and dad were jeans and practical stuff. But Bruce, who was adopted, he was about 6'2". There's never been a Weaver over 6 feet, so it was obvious. But he would always come through with a gift. And I loved his gifts. And he's been gone for about 10 years. But he came to know the Lord through a simple invitation to church, to a Christmas service. Somebody in the neighborhood said, "Hey, why don't you come on down and go to service?" Bruce and his wife hadn't been in church for a long time. He went, and things started changing. Things started changing. And he lived about 6 months to 9 months after that initial church visit. He didn't know that two massive heart attacks were coming. He didn't know that his time on this earth was short. But the heart attacks came. And I remember when he passed, just thinking, man,
wow,
he was a changed man. And we were not real close growing up, you know, just the way it is. But I remember just saying, Lord, I wish I had more time with him now. We had something to share. We had something to share.
Amen.
And I regret that, I'm sad that he's not here with us. But I remember his step after he came to know the Lord. He was growing, still kind of feeling his way through the process. But boy, I wish we had more time to talk and share. We were as different as night and day. I was sophisticated. He was country, but,
sophisticated.
I remember his gifts. But a simple invitation got him rolling towards a salvation experience with Christ, and he was a different man.
Amen.
And so I remember that as it's tied to the holiday season.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Got a caller. Larry, who we got up there?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, come on in here.
All right. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
I was thinking about some things that I've learned from you. I met you at the Kill the Bill rally. And after that, I've gone to churches where, you want to serve, they already have the designated deacons. They already have designated people for certain jobs. So they weren't really making disciples of just the average person. They were just occupying the pew. So many people are eager in church to fulfill a role in leadership, and what you're teaching us is that everyone has to take some leadership path, and you're calling people to hold a sign. And I think that's what's really going on in the church, is that they don't feel like they're really accomplishing anything. They're in the church, so they're not going to go. And I think what it is, and this is just me talking, of course, but you're not really tested until something happens. You really don't believe something until you're really put into the test. And you might be confronted with something in your life that you're just not going to part ways with, but then God shows up, and it's like, wow, he loved me even in when I'm like knee-deep in the worst kind of sin, and he shows up, and that's the humbling part. And then on the other side of it, you're gathering people around, and you're making disciples of them. You're showing them, like, listen, I got to coach you through this, and I got to explain to you the way you understand. And right now, throwing out all these scriptures and things for people, some people, it overwhelms them. So you really do got to kind of just tell them like it is. And I don't know any other way to say it, but my dad was great. You are just like my dad. He was very effective, and he talked to people. He didn't preach to them. He talked to them. He's like, listen, this is how it really is. And there are people right now that need proper discipline and correction. They're craving it, especially
Amen.
If you're from a dysfunctional home. These kids desperately need proper correction and discipline. They don't need to be smacked. They don't need to be yelled at, especially the little kids where, you see a lot of times right now, moms just yell at their kids. They don't really talk to their kids. And right now, I think that's what the world desperately needs, is the right proper correction.
Amen. Amen, Jennifer. God bless you. Thanks for calling. And let me make a point to that. I'm talking about us, my generation following me, we've made a grave error. And that grave error is we're trying to teach our children how to be happy. And in fact, that is the central focus of what most of us do in our life. We don't try to teach our children to be a man of integrity. I mean, we do. We kind of throw that in a little bit. But we don't teach them the focus of our lives is not to train our children to be godly leaders. That's not the focus. And I'm going to tell you this. It's also not the focus of the church. We live in a culture and a society where we train people to be followers. When you go to your church, your pastor will train you to follow. Now, there are times we have to follow. I've always said, in order to be a good leader, you have to have learned to be a good follower. Those two go hand in hand. But I think one of the points that Jennifer was making, and one of the things I'm piggybacking on at this time, is the fact that we are no longer focused on raising up leaders. I've heard people say to me, leaders are born. They are not developed. And I'm telling you, that's just not true. Now, I believe some people are born with the ability to lead. I believe we all have gifts. The Lord's given me the gift of communication. But, you know, I could take this gift of communication and I could do it in a bar. I could do it out fishing and hunting and cussing. I'd still be able to communicate. The question is, am I taking this gift? One thing I'll say to my mom always told me, I was born to lead. She always told me that. Honey, you are a leader. She put it over and over and over and over. And you think about in your local church that you're part of, who are the leaders in the church? Well, the leaders in the church. You ready, Roger? The leaders in the church are the guys in the men's ministry who the pastor has selected to be the leader. And if you're sitting back there and you got all this energy and you want to lead, the pastor is going to say, we can't have you lead, Roger, because you don't follow very well. And the same thing's true in all of our society and all of our culture. We live in a society, follow me, follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Jennifer's making that a very important point that all of us are called to lead, not merely to follow. I want to read something that I've popped up in there. Come on, John's joined us. My buddy John, go to CoachDaveLive.com, click on Join the Huddle. Get in here. We want to hear from you. But before we do this, I'm going clear back to where George was. Who George is from Oklahoma, and George has been part of our fellowship here. What do I call this? I don't even know what to call this. Q. He's been part of the show here for probably 3 or 4, maybe 5 months now. I don't know. Don't know how long. And here it is on Friday morning. George is on the way to the clinic. Now you tell me that ain't something, huh? And George said something that just piqued my spirit there. And I asked Jared to pull up the man in the arena. Pull that up there, Jared. I want to read this. This is from Teddy Roosevelt. This is really, really profound. And I believe this applies to the church. You've all heard it, but I think it's appropriate for us to do it now. Whoops, I clicked off of it. Roosevelt said this. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done him better. Now, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? The man who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? And let's ask ourselves, are we training up men like this in our churches? And I think it's very obvious that we're not. Now, we're training up men like that who may be sold out on the job, may be sold out in their businesses. They may be sold out on the golf course. They may be sold out when they go and cheer at a Ohio State Buckeyes football game, but they're not sold out like that for what really matters. And I'll never apologize for the fact I'm sold out for the things that matter. And, yeah, it's not the critic that counts. It's not all those people. It's not. It's the one who's actually in the arena doing it. Join us here, CoachDaveLive.com. You've always wanted to be in the queue. We're running over today because we're giving you a chance to jump in here. CoachDaveLive.com. Click on the right side. Join the huddle, and you're going to be in there. Or you can call us at 843-957-8180. We'd love to hear from you today. We'd love to hear from you. John Pride, jump in here. John out there in Wichita. How you doing today, John? I haven't seen you in a while. John's trying to get that thing done. There you are, John.
Yeah, doing well. Got my son home from college, so, you know, we're taking care of business. And, yeah, we've actually been talking a lot about the pro-life ministry and how challenging of a ministry that is. And it's mainly challenging because of trying to involve people in the church. You know, trying to involve these passionate, strong Christian people that, hey, they're killing babies down the street from your house. Could you come out there and pray with me? And of course, they won't come out. So the challenge of that, and the challenge of they know who you are. Once they know you're kind of a passionate pro-life Christian guy and you think and on the streets, they see you coming and they kind of go the other way. It's a challenge. I don't even know how to articulate.
Yeah, it's like you're selling Amway to them, right? John, they see you coming and man, they're out of here, right? They've heard the pitch once and they don't want to hear that pitch again, right?
Yeah, you know, I think it's like the guilty conscience and they just don't want to be there, you know?
But so let's dig into that, John. Why is it they don't want to be there? What is it? What is it that would make a man not want to go to defend baby? I have an answer, a response, by the way. What do you think it is that would make a man not want to go do that?
You know, I do think you have a group of people that simply are apathetic and they simply just don't care because it's just not right in their world. It's not right in their right there.
Right.
And then you have some people that are just downright fearful. They're just scared.
Scared of what, John? What are they scared of, John?
Oh, they're scared of being the Amway guy.
That's right.
I mean, they're not dumb. I mean, most of these people aren't stupid. I mean, they don't want to be the Amway guy, you know?
Right.
And they're smart enough to know that, I mean, because they like to be liked. I mean, they like people to like them. And they know if they're the Amway guy, nobody's going to like them.
Right. I mean, so it's fear. It's fear-based, isn't it? Mostly it's fear-based. Hey, Rich, let me call Rich in here a second, John, if I can. Hey, Rich, tell that story. I love that story. When we came out, we did our boot camp out in St. Louis. And we said, we're going to go to the clinic tomorrow at 6:30 or whenever we're going to get there. And I was a little bit late getting our crew down there. And we jumped out and it was raining a little bit. And you were already there. First time you'd ever been. Share that story with us, Rich. And your reaction.
You shared it.
Yeah.
You shared it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was eye-opening, life-changing for me. And Dave, I'm with every guy here, man. God bless you, man, because you bless God. And that's where the church has failed. It's not about what he can do for us. It's about what we can do for him. And I don't know what you want me to tell you with that story, but I will say this. I got to get off here. God bless all you guys and bless God this Christmas. I'm going to head down to the clinic this morning. And for all my family out there that just don't know what to give me for Christmas, you can join me tomorrow morning at the abortion clinic in Granite City. It won't cost you a dime. You just get in your car and come on down, and we will lovingly, as a family, stand and bless God in front of that and try and save a baby.
Amen, Rich. God bless.
I got to go, guys. Merry Christmas to all yous.
And, you too, Rich.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye. Love you too. Love you too, Rich. You know, I made a point. We sometimes get on here. We have a discussion before we go on the air. And jump in here. CoachDaveLive.com. Click on Join the Huddle. Jump in and we'd love to hear from you. I'd said to Rich before we went on the air, I said, can you imagine some girls this morning, it's Friday morning, some girls are going to show up outside of Planned Parenthood and they're going to go in and they'll kill their baby and they will never forget it the rest of their lives. That they killed their baby at Christmas time. It will impact their lives for the rest of their lives. Not only will their baby be dead, but look at this thing. Every time you think of Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and a babe in a manger, and every time you look at a baby, those girls will never, ever forget what they did at Christmas time. They'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. And so, you know, if we could understand, sometimes a gift isn't what you give somebody, it's what you protect them from. We'll say that again because it kind of went over our head. Sometimes a gift isn't what you give somebody, but from what you protect them from. We have the ability by going to that abortion clinic to protect somebody from a lifetime of guilt, lifetime of emotional distress, a lifetime of who knows whatever, regret. Not only save a baby, but impact the life of the woman that's going to go in there. So, you know, when we get thinking about Christmas and Christmas things and what we're going to do, one of the greatest Christmases we ever had was about, Davey's still sitting there pretty good. My wife's doing some work around here this morning, Christmas work. As I took our children, our daughters anyway, Zach, I think, was off in college. He wasn't home at that point. On Christmas morning, Christmas Eve morning, we went out to feed the homeless, loaded up our kids. We went with some others. We went to downtown Columbus. We went down to what we called the homeless camp. We went down to the homeless camp and we handed out gloves and we handed out coats and we handed out a lot of things. Here he comes, honey. Handed out a lot of things. See, Davey, to the homeless people. And we did that and we had a great time. And it was very, very eye opening. And when we went home, we got our own presents out under the tree and we opened up and, you know, my daughter, Maggie, our youngest, Maggie, who's turned into be a great, great Christian woman. Maggie said, she says, you know, Dad, I feel awful. I can't even open these presents after I see what those people down there don't have. How can I open these presents? And so the point that I'm trying to make is this whole Christmas season thing isn't about giving presents to each other. It's about the destruction of sin, the destructive forces of sin. And that God so loved the world that he sent his son, that the world might be saved through his son. It's not about ho-ho and ding-dong and Christmas trees and Christmas carols and dashing through the snow. And the greatest opportunity that you have to make a difference is to be able to reach out for those around you who are lost. I'm going to, Jared, I'm going to put the pressure on you, man. I haven't heard from you yet this morning. Anybody else jump in here? Phone number is 843-957-8180. 843-957-8180. We're going to continue to go here for a few more minutes. If nobody joins us, then we'll go ahead and get about our day. But we're giving you a chance to get in there, share what the Lord's put on your heart. CoachDaveLive.com. You can click on that and join us there. Join us in the queue. Jared, what's on your heart this morning, bud? That's a great Christian term, isn't it? What's on your heart, brother? What's on your heart, Jared? What are you thinking today, Jared?
Porsche's in the queue today, too.
What's that?
Porsche is in the queue today, too.
Oh, okay. Porsche, you know, I'm sorry, Porsche. You are. I'm sorry, dear. We'll come back to you. What's up, Jared?
All right. I'll go with kind of Roger's theme with the show itself. And it's been Christianity isn't womanly. It's manly.
It is.
The themes of it, it's self-sacrifice, righteousness, honor, courage, faith. These aren't womanly virtues. You know, I think women can have them, sure. But it's something that I just read in The Republic by Plato. He says, if men and women are become equal, women will be deemed as better. And I interpret that as when the spirit dies, women become better because they are what perpetuates the species. And so in our culture, we're watching our spirit die. The spiritual world, our spiritual eyes are dead. We don't have them. You know, we poked them out with forks. And and we're watching everything turn upside down. And so to bring it back around, the show has shown me that what Christianity actually is, and it's about order, faith, authority, and all
conquest. Conquest. How we can ignore that in our Christian heritage just blows my mind. It's all about conquest. Christianity. Hear me. We're either going to conquer or be conquered. I mean, that's all it is. We will either conquer or be conquered. And we have a Christianity today that somehow it has become honorable to be conquered. That somehow is more righteous. That's more holy. That you turned the other cheek. That you didn't fight back. That you didn't get angry. Somehow that becomes righteous. And the scripture says that we serve a conquering king, a soon coming king, a conquering king. So how did Christianity get to the place where we're so submissive and so roll over and let them have us? And we see the impact of that, fellas. All we have to do, and girls, Portia, I'm going to give you a chance to get in here in a second. Sorry, I forgot about you there. All we have to do is look at what's going on in Europe and see that Western civilization, the idea of WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestantism, is being conquered. It's being conquered. That is anti-biblical to allow Islam to conquer Christianity. But see, when you begin to talk about that stuff, sissified men and sissified Christianity, they get their underwear in a bunch because they think we're supposed to be like Jesus. Well, what do they think he did? What do we think he did? He came in and he tried to conquer that dead religious system. He said, there's not one stone upon another that's going to be left standing. Nothing. He said, I'm going to destroy this whole anti-whatever. I'm going to destroy it all. It's a conquering king. And you say, well, yeah, but coach, come on now. That doesn't mean that we need to be violent. Well, you know what? The Bible says that there is a time for war. What do you mean we're not supposed to be violent? What do you mean? You mean to tell me that if a radical Muslim shows up at your house and has a knife and he's trying to get your children to deny Jesus, that isn't a conquering? That isn't a conquest that needs to be taking place? That you rise up and say no? And that we sit in what was once a great Christian nation and we watch Christianity be conquered before our very eyes? That the name of Muhammad is being honored and the name of Jesus is being lowered? That you can talk about Islam in school, but you can't talk about Jesus in school? What do you think is going on? And we're at the heart of it. We're at the heart of it. We saw the impact just in voting of the Popeyes. All I can stands and I can't stands no more. Let me ask you, Christian man, when are you going to have enough of abortion that you can't stand it no more? When are you going to reach that point? When are you going to have enough of the devil stealing the heart of your children before he said, I had enough of it. I had enough of it. I'm not going to take it anymore. What point do we reach that? But we will never reach it if we think Christianity is about submission. That's what Islam means. Submit. In other words, the world will submit to Islam. No. No, it won't. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Understand this. It isn't just his word or his name, but it will be the enforcement of his kingdom and his kingdom principles that will bring the other side down. And the sissified Christianity that we see in America, oh, Jared, you're right, man. We're right. The best thing, are you ready? The most honorable thing a Christian man can do is act like a woman. Unfortunately. Unfortunately. I'm 74, what's that number? 843-957-8180. We're going to go a few minutes longer. See if anybody out there has the courage today to click on join the huddle and jump in here and be in the queue for the first time. Certainly somebody out there. Portia, what do you have to want to say? What do you want to say? And the reason I forgot you, Portia, is I look at your image here. It doesn't show your image. It shows something else, and I forgot all about you. So I'm sorry, Portia. Jump in here. Love to hear from you. Are you there or are you just listening?
Might be taking care of the kids now.
There she is. There she is.
I'm listening, but I don't really have anything profound to say. Just learning.
It doesn't have to be profound. It just has to be from the heart. What's on your heart this morning, Portia?
Well, I appreciate the show, and I'm learning and growing each day. And you guys are an inspiration. And
hey, Portia, do you think I'm right about the sissified men? Don't
yes,
deepen,
I do.
deep in our heart. Doesn't a Christian woman want a strong man?
Definitely.
Yeah, we've bought into the lie. Well, we pray that you're encouraged and inspired, Portia, and we're glad that you're part of it.
I am. Thank you.
Bless you, dear. JR, what's going on there, man? See, you just clicked in here on us.
Yeah. Love the show. Hey, Coach, the thing, you mentioned something, and I want to kind of emphasize it. And I'll classify it under take the ball and run with it.
Uh-huh.
When I first ran across Mark Harrington, and then I ran across you, I was enthralled. I mean, you guys got it. You had something very special. And it just became, over a period of time, is what is Coach and what is Mark and what is Flip? What are you guys going to do for me? You mentioned something about getting callings. You have to take, if you get that calling, God gave you personally that calling, and you got to take the ball and run with it yourself. Work through Coach, work with Coach, but it doesn't have to be underneath him. As a matter of fact, he'd like to kind of breed a bunch of little coaches out there.
Amen.
And troublemakers, agitators, if you will. So I want to really, really emphasize that. And I think we're supposed to submit to God, which means we have a follower instinct. But there's a leadership aspect of that that we just don't realize and need to take more advantage of. That's, if you want Coach to grow, if you want the message to grow, then take the ball and run with it. Do your own thing for a while with Coach and with Mark and with other folks that have been in the battle. I mean, use them, but don't be afraid to run out there and do it yourself.
No, that's for sure. Because fear is paralyzing, brother. It says fear has torment. And I really believe that that's the one thing that blocks men from being everything that God would want them to do. And we're coming in an age. Remember this. Scripture tells us that there's a day coming when men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. And if we're afraid of what our neighbor thinks, we're afraid of what school board thinks, and we're afraid of what our pastor thinks, buddy, we're in some pretty serious shape. Because the stuff that's coming is going to be far, far more fearsome than that. JR, you got a show coming up tomorrow morning. What give us a little We wind down here. Still waiting for somebody out there who's never joined the huddle to join it. CoachDaveLive.com. Click on Join the Huddle. As soon as you do that, my morning will be complete. What's going on tomorrow, JR? You're muted. You're muted.
There we go. We're going to have a special guest tomorrow, Heidi Mund, and she's from Germany. And Heidi is the lady that got up when a Muslim was basically trying to claim Martin Luther's church for Islam, and she spoke out and spoke out well. She became a national, an international sensation. We're blessed to have her on the program, and we're going to talk about Islam and how it's creeping through Europa, but how it's headed to the United States. Actually, it's already here. It's just kind of dormant right now, and we need to be very careful and learn from the lessons of Germany. So tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock a.m., you can get it on the same number that you dial this show in, or you can go to Minutemen United, which is mmunited.org. At 10 o'clock, click on Last Call. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, we know this, JR. folks, I want you to think about this. If you would go to your school board today and you would like to talk to your school board, your superintendent, about the inclusion of Ramadan as part of the multiculturalism at the school, you would get more open arms on that than you would about bringing Christ back in. You know that, don't you? We know that. Now, we better ask ourselves, is Christianity conquering or is it being conquered? And as you ask yourself this, you think about the Ten Commandments and all that Ten Commandment battle that everybody's been through. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw this. Judge Roy Moore is on the top rung of being appointed senator from the state of Alabama because Jeff Sessions is going to become attorney general. They interviewed Judge Moore yesterday. That Bentley, Governor Bentley, interviewed Judge Moore yesterday. He was the number one selection. Judge Moore was the number one selection of the Republican group that got together of who should fill Jeff Sessions' spot. It was Judge Roy Moore. Judge Roy Moore, ooh, I got goosebumps. That boy might be president someday.
And he's available.
He is available now. He's available. The Ten Commandments. I ask people this. If there's a separation of church and state, and we're not a Christian community, not a Christian country. Can somebody explain to me how those founders got it so wrong? Why were they sticking the Ten Commandments up everywhere if they didn't mean for us to be a Christian country? And I don't know if you've noticed this or not. They're tearing the commandments down. They're not putting them up. They're tearing them down. So what we're seeing happening in front of our very eyes is a conquering of Christianity and Christian values. You don't want to say that, but it's the truth. You know, they talk about radical Muslims. They talk about right-wing Christians. They talk about far-right. When's the last time you heard about a far-right humanist? When's the last time somebody said that to you? Oh, they're far-right secularists. They're far-left secular. No, no, no. Only Christians. See, any Christian who believes the Bible is not just right, he's far-right. Right? Well, we can't hear about him because he's one of those guys that wants to see the Ten Commandments put back up there. I'm going to tell you something. We are at a fight or flight position here in American Christianity. We will either rise up now and push back against these forces of darkness, or we will see Christianity conquered in America. We're going to see it. Now, I don't think we will, but that's what's at stake. We got a phone call. Who's with us there, Larry?
We have from Oklahoma, Bill, I believe you said his name was.
Hey, Bill, how you doing this morning?
Hey.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, Bill.
Hey, I was just joining them at the abortion clinic here, Charles and George, here in Oklahoma, in Tulsa. The 30-minute clock's down this morning. Coach, our senator here, our U.S. senator in Oklahoma, James Lankford, he wants to make the Hyde Amendment permanent. Do you know what the Hyde Amendment is?
Yeah, no federal dollars can go to abortions.
That's it. That's it. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
No, hey, we're gonna. They gave Planned Parenthood a raise this year.
And, you know, yet they say, hey, now don't be spending that on abortion.
Yeah. Make sure you spend it all that other stuff you don't do. That's right. That's right, Bill. That's right. Bill, I also saw this, folks. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Jesus came that we might have life in heaven more abundantly.
Yes, sir.
And the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And abortion is doing all that to us.
It is. It is. And they're doing it, Bill, with the approval of Christian men. That's the only way that abortion is able to continue. And, you know, I don't know if you realize this or not. We could end abortion right now. We have the House, we have the Senate, and we have the President. We could end it right now, but we won't. And I also saw this, that donations to Planned Parenthood, donations to the ACLU, and donations to all these far-left groups are at record amounts. I'm telling you, the enemy is girding up for a battle. It's going to be a battle. I remember this old guy. Funny how your brain works. Back when we were doing homeless ministry, I ran into this guy down in the homeless community. They had a little tent city down there. His name was Chance. And Chance wrote a song. I kind of remember it. He was a homeless guy. He was an alcoholic. He was destitute. He said, wrote a little song, gonna be a battle with the devil tonight. Gonna be a knockdown and drag out dog fight. I remember it, see. Hey, folks, there's going to be a battle with the devil. There's a battle with the devil. It's coming bigger than we have ever seen it. Because why? They understand what's going on around them. And they understand that if we don't push back, they understand if they don't push now, they're smart enough, as I've said before, in the stadium behind me, they sit high and look low. They see what's going on, and they know that we are on the verge of a touchdown. They see it. And they're getting ready for their goal line stand. And we cannot go to sleep at this most important time in all of my life, anyway, this time right now. Well, thank all of you for joining us here today. We'll go ahead and wrap it up. Remember this. They say Jesus is the reason for the season. But that's hackneyed, isn't it? What does that mean? Jesus is the reason for the season. What season? What season? Remember, the birth of Jesus Christ is meaningless without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The birth without the death, without the resurrection is meaningless. Otherwise, it'd just be another little baby born in a manger somewhere. Probably babies everywhere being born in mangers. There's something significant about that one. And it was because he did what he promised he would do. He finished the course. He hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. What? 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested. He would destroy the works of the devil. It's finished. I did it. I destroyed the works of the devil. We need now to appropriate that in our own lives and the lives that we live and in those around us. And to make a difference for the cause of Christ this Christmas season. God bless you all. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for all of you who called in, came part of it. And Merry Christmas. We'll see you on Monday.